And Pastor Davis prepared a lesson, and I like to say, wow, he's got a lot of good things to say, and I'm going to add a little bit to it. So hopefully you've got a pen, because I'm going to ask you to actually to turn your paper over, because I want you guys to write some things down, okay? But let's pray first. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you. Lord, that we just come before you, and we sit at your feet, Lord Jesus, and we just thank you, Lord, for your Spirit teaching us. Help us to see and to know and to understand. Help us to be changed by your word. Let these words be spirit, and let they be life. I pray, Lord, when we leave, Lord, that this word is going to help us, Lord, to stand stronger and understand even more about what you've done in our lives and what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, first of all, we're just going to read the first scripture, which is the main scripture for this teaching, which is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's not on your handout, so if you guys want to write that down, this is the main scripture. And it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So this is your whole self he's going to describe. And may your whole spirit, so that's one, your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people understand the body, but they kind of get the soul and spirit kind of mixed up. But they are different. They are different, okay? And we're going to kind of go over that a little bit today. Eventually, we're going to wind up on just the spirit, talking about what happens when we're born again, all right? But we're going to say a few things. So what I want you to write down is three parts, just on your paper. One is, I want you to say, I am a spirit. Okay, so write that down. So now this is the real you. This is the part that was born again. You know, God is spirit, and he seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, everything that was created, man was the only thing that he breathed his spirit into, right? So we are spirit. Animals, like, is animals going to heaven? I don't see it, right? I know they have a soul, they have personality, they have life, they have a body. But, you know, the only thing that's going to be able to go to heaven is us. We're the ones that are special, you know? Everything that was created, that God created, was not for him, it was us. And that he created us for him. Right? So the spirit part of your being is who you truly are. That's the part that's going to live forever. That's the part that fellowships with God and can know God. All right? Number two, I have a soul. So you are a spirit that has a soul. This is the mind, the will, and the emotions. This is what helps us here on earth to interact with one another and with things that are going on, and it's important. So I am, if you write down next to that, Hebrews 4 and 12. So for the word of God is living and powerful, you guys know this, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. A lot of people think they're one and the same, but they're actually different. If it can be separated, then it can't be the same, okay? So they're two. So write down number three. So I live in a body. Now your body is what sees, hears, touches, tastes, and feels. It allows you physically to be able to interact in this world. Without a body, you can't be in this world, right? To be absent from the body, which is your spirit, if your spirit leaves this body is gonna die, right? So you can't exist in this world without a body. And when I say you, I mean your spirit, okay? Okay? So we're gonna deal with, so which part of us is saved? So this is what you need to say or understand. My spirit is what gets saved. If you're born again, this is the part of you that has gotten saved, renewed, okay? This is where, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is so important, and that we understand. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, brand new, never existed before. Old things that were there before, that dead spirit's gone. Behold, all things have become new, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, when I was born again, I had a wonderful experience. You know, when I was going to church, I felt something out here that was really sweet, just a sweet presence, especially when we sing all the old hymns, because I got saved in a Baptist church, right? We'd be singing the old hymns, and this refreshing spirit would just come, right? But when I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that presence that was out here all of a sudden rushed inside of me, right? And this heaviness just rolled away, and I was just like, wow, something amazing just happened. It happened inside me, you know? And I was just looking around, and everything I looked at just looked different. It looked like there was life. It was more alive than it had been before. It was almost like there was a haze over everything. And then all of a sudden, I was able to see a lot clearer. I went outside looking at the trees and going, wow, look how beautiful the trees are. And looking at the sky going, wow, how beautiful. I was just in awe, you know, of those things. Something had happened. There was a change inside of me. When I went home and looked in the mirror, though, I didn't see any change at all. There was no change in my flesh. But something happened inside, and I didn't completely understand what was going on. I know I was different, but what that difference was in my spirit, okay? So my spirit is saved. My soul is being saved. So that's the next thing to write down. My soul is being saved. So, and you can write down James 1 and 21. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. When you are born again, your spirit is born again. You become that new creature. Your mind doesn't get renewed. Remember, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It does not change. What changes that part of you is the word of God. You reading, studying, coming to church, hearing the word, you know, from the teachers and the pastors and the prophets and the apostles. That is what changes your soul. It saves your soul. It's getting it washed and clean from all the wrong thinking, you know, because now you're a new creature inside. Now you want to try to align your thinking with your new spirit. And the only way that's going to happen is through the word of God. Now, I, you know, praise God that I was saved, you know, then and everything like that. But I didn't have a whole lot of big changes happening in me. I knew I felt differently about a lot of things that, you know, that I thought was okay. And now I was just like, you know, I don't think that kind of feels yucky now, you know. But really, as I learned the word and understood more about what was right and what was wrong from God's perspective, you know, then I was able to get more in line with what was true and what was right, okay? And then the third thing to write down is my body will be saved, okay? This is the part of you that right now is still the same sinful, lustful thing that it was before, all right? The Bible describes it as that it is at enmity or at war with your spirit. Because it doesn't want anything that your spirit wants, you know. It wants all the things that it wanted before, that anybody who's in the world, those things that they want, it also wants for, longs for, okay? And so to be fleshly minded is someone who's thinking about those things instead of about the righteousness or what's right that their spirit wants. And I always like to say your spirit, the bunny rabbit, Cocoa Puffs, you know, the commercial, he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know? He just, I mean, that's your spirit. I mean, you are cuckoo for God. There's nothing that's going to save you because you just love God. that much. You want to please him in every way, and there's nothing that could ever change that. But your flesh is the opposite way. It doesn't want to have anything to do with God, because every time you get close to God, it can't do what it wants to do. You're making it not, you know you can't do that anymore, you know. So it's something that will be saved. So you can write down 1 John 3:2. Aha, there it is. It said, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is." All right? So our bodies will be saved when Jesus comes back, okay? Now, when we're raptured and we go up to heaven and everything, we won't need our bodies. It's when we come back here and we're living on the earth that we'll need those new bodies, right? But when we are changed to be like him, we'll have what Jesus' resurrected body was, you know? So we'll be able to do things like all of a sudden just stir up in a room. Hey guys. Can you imagine, the apostles are there, the door is locked, and then Jesus, all of a sudden, he's in the door. And they go, can you imagine? Or if you think, I want to be somewhere, you can just go there, right? That's going to be amazing, you know? I think it's going to be awesome. If we want to eat, we can eat. If we don't want to eat, we don't have to eat. We can eat what we want and won't get fat, you know? We won't ever get tired, you know? Nuts. I mean, all the things like we complain about and all that will be gone. We will truly be free. And we'll be young. You know, everybody's take on when they go to heaven, they're like in their prime, like in their 30s, you know, or 20, you know, upper 20s or something like that. Like they would consider it as their prime. That's what I believe we're going to be like. God's going to bring us back to that. So I'll have more hair. Pastor Tim will have a lot more hair. So to go over those again, the first 1, 2, and 3 is, I am a spirit who has a soul, and I live in a body. The next 3 is, my spirit is saved, my soul is being saved, and my body will be saved. Okay? The only thing that you can work on to make things better for yourself is to work on your soul. If you can get your soul in line with your spirit, then your body is going to just have to just put up with it, you know? Yeah, come along for the ride. It's when we don't renew our mind and we agree with the flesh, then that's when we tend to fall into what the flesh wants, you know? It kind of opens up the door for the devil to come in and kind of start doing things, you know, that we don't want. So the thing we need to work on is our soul. We need to renew our mind. So let's see. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So that's the only thing we can do. It says, body, get on the altar, and don't you get off, because it keeps getting off. You know, we have to use it to put it on the altar and say, no, we're sacrificing you. You have no say. You have nothing to do with my life. I'm going to go with the Spirit, you know. Said, make it acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Okay, so what happens is you learn what the will of God is and what is good and righteous, and then you start practicing it. And then what you do is you find out what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God, and that God will come through, right? Because all of a sudden you're doing what he wants you to do. You're walking, you're talking, you're doing the things that he's asking you to do and what's righteous. And then all of a sudden God moves and works in you as far as for healing or deliverance or provision or protection, or all those things come from us aligning our soul with our spirit. As soon as we align it, then that allows God to move in us so that we can come like a place like this. Because we don't have to really feel anything to know that God's in us. We might not feel, I love to feel God's presence. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love it. But, you know, I don't have to have it to know that he's always with me and that he's here every time we come together. Why? Because his word tells me so. But praise God, because I believe he's here and that he lives in me, you know, what happens is then all of a sudden his presence does show up. It allows us to feel it in our emotions, right? And we can even feel it in our bodies. I get these Holy Ghost pimples, you know, all over me sometimes, you know. And sometimes it's so strong, it can't even stand it and it falls out, you know. So when we align ourselves with the Spirit, with our soul, the Spirit, then it allows him to be able to work in our soul, but also put down the flesh or be able to crucify that flesh like we need to. So that is my quick notes on this subject. So we're going to start with Pastor Dave's notes, okay? Spirit, soul, and body. And this is lesson number 2. So what are some standard gospel questions concerning the grace gospel? Because I am saved, past, present, and future, can I just live in sin? I know Paul was having to deal with that, you know, because he wrote it in his Gospels, answering that question. So Paul dealt with this question in Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? The answer is God forbid. God doesn't want us to go out and sin. He had to die to take care of sins, to get us from the clutches of the devil, because we were with him and headed to hell with him, and he had to get rid of sin, and when we repent and go back to him, then we could be set free. So why would he want us to go back to sin? That just doesn't make any sense, right? God does not want that. But he loves, right, us so much. He knows our weaknesses, especially the weaknesses of our flesh, right? And he made provisions for all that. Just like Pastor Dave says, you know, when he died for our sins, they were all future. That is an amazing statement, right? He paid the price for all sin. All the sin that you ever did, that you're doing now, and you will ever do, has already been paid. Sin is out of the way. It is not a question for those who believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So should we keep, well, since I'm forgiven, maybe I can just go sin anyway. No, that is not God's plan. He wants us free from that. Okay? Unless this question comes up, you are not preaching the same gospel that Paul did. The typical preaching today ties God's love and acceptance to your performance is the word. People think that unless they're doing as right as they can, you know, that's when God will love them and bless them. But if they're not, then they miss out. God's mad at them and will not move in their behalf. This produces a works righteousness and a self-righteousness based on your actions, you know. When you come to God on your own righteousness, he will reject you every time. Like, you got the wrong attitude. You need to go out from my presence. You need to sit down and you think about this. Because your self-righteousness, it stinks. You need to get rid of that. Right? When we come to him, it's on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's work alone. That's it. Right? It's because of you, Jesus. Because you shed your blood on the cross, because you died and then you rose again, that I have this wonderful privilege of being a son of God, that my sins are gone. So when we come to him saying, oh, it's because of Jesus, it's because of what he did, then he accepts us all every time, you know? When he sees us, he sees us as sons and daughters. As he sees Jesus, he sees you in the Spirit. So when you come to him, knowing that you've been cleansed and washed because of Jesus, he will accept you every time. Matter of fact, I love, you know, on Sundays, and I almost do it every time when I'm praying, I say, God, we're coming to you, and we're running, and we're leaping into your arms, and I thank you that you grab us, and you hug us, and you hold us tight, and you give us kisses on the head. And when we look in your eyes, they're just ablaze with love, and when we listen to your heart, Lord, we know it's just beating for us, saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's the kind of acceptance we have, not because of what we did, but because of Jesus. And see, what Jesus has done will never change. He's already done it. And if we believe in that, if we keep our faith in what he's done, then we can stand before God Almighty, completely righteous, completely holy, completely accepted, okay? So God accepts you based on whether your spirit is righteous. So the next feeling is spirit is righteous or not. And your spirit's righteous not based on anything you've done, but based on what Jesus did. So I like saying that we were part of a divine exchange. So he took your unrighteousness and your sin and everything else that was lucky about you, and then he took it upon himself, but then he gave you everything that was his righteousness, you know, his holiness. No sickness, no disease, no pain, everything that he had, he has now given to you. And then he took it to the cross, nailed it to the cross, paid the price so they would no longer be a part of us or him, right? And then he rose again victorious. So your spirit is righteous. Amen? So number two, another question people have is, are you saying it doesn't matter how I live? So Paul gives us two reasons why Christians should live holy. First, God has changed your nature. So this is Romans, and we're going to read 3-4. Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Okay. So, that old person that we had, the old spirit we had, that used to be inside of us, was crucified with Christ. It no longer exists. When we receive him, we have a brand new spirit that's put in. So that old nature that was cuckoo for the devil and what he wanted us to do is gone, right? It's crucified. It's gone. It no longer lives. It's no longer a part of us. And we have to see and understand that we no longer have that nature, but we have the nature of Jesus Christ. This is who we truly are, right? We're, you know, a lot of people say Christians are hypocrites because they can't do what they're saying. But, you know, inside you are. It's what Jesus has done. We are going to fail sometimes, of course. But you know what? God's going to clean us up, pick us up, and we keep going because we're going to do what God wants us to do because it's our nature to do so. So Romans, or 1 John 1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Not only did God save us, because, I mean, he could have saved us because he felt sorry for us and didn't want us to go to hell, right? And then made us servants forever. He went so far beyond that. He made us his sons and his daughters. He made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He went so far beyond my understanding of what he would do for us. Even though we were enemies, we had sided with the devil. We were against God. And then he did all this stuff for us. You know, and as a son and a daughter of God Almighty, you know, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should want to live righteous and holy and purified. Our reason is that God loved me that much. I should live the way he wants me to live. Not the way the world wants to live, not the way my flesh wants me to live, but the way he wants me to live. I want to do things that are pleasing to him. Because he loved me that much. So our motivation is not, oh my gosh, if I do something wrong, he's going to come after me and cause something to happen. It is, no, I don't want to disappoint him, you know? So I don't want anybody to feel guilty when they fall, because we have a different relationship now with God. He's our Father, you know? And so he knows we're learning and we're growing. Nobody's there. Nobody's exactly like Jesus yet. We're all learning and growing. And he's a very patient Father, loving Father, a doting Father, meaning he's there all the time, waiting and looking and ready to help in any and every situation. So when we trip up and we fall, that's all we have to do is look around. He's right there. And as soon as we call out his name, he's going to grab us. He's going to hug us. He's going to kiss our boo-boos and say, you know what? I believe in you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You ready to try this again? And that's his attitude every time we fail. Now, the devil's on the side over there saying, oh, you're not worth anything. God doesn't love you, you know. Don't call out to him. Don't look to him. He doesn't want to see you anymore, you know. A lot of times people have this vision of God being, oh, when you fall, that he's there and he goes, oh, you're not worth anything. You fell again, you know. I don't know how many times you're going to fall, but I'm done with you, you know. That is not him at all. He is going to be there until, right? Just like any loving father or mother would do, until. We're sons now. God's daughters. God deals with us as sons and daughters, okay? So we have this new covenant, and it's because of Jesus and what he's done, right? So God has changed your nature, which was the first fill-in in number two, and you don't want to give the devil access to your soul and body. Romans, we're going to read 15 and 16. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you're that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Okay? So God has set us free, right? But if you go and you bow the knee to something that you know you shouldn't do, all right, and then you do it again and you do it again, eventually what happens is that you allow the devil to come in and he'll help hold you captive, right? And then all of a sudden you're having to receive those wages of sin. Death comes in many different ways, right? So that's all you have to do, because he's our Father, is call on him and say, God, you know, I'm sorry I did this. You know, help me. I had a situation where I did exactly what I just described. I kept doing these things, knowing that they're wrong, and did them anyway. And then finally, it's like I couldn't help myself. I felt that I was stuck, you know. It was a situation where, and it wasn't drugs, but a lot of times the drug people who are addicted to drugs say, it's all like a monkey on my back, it makes me do it. And that's what I felt. It was making me do it. And I had no way to stop it. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, I said, God, I'm so ashamed. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And he told me to get three men at the church. So I pull them aside, tell them what I was dealing with, and that when they prayed for me, that I would be set free. So I did exactly that. And I could feel, when they prayed for me, I could feel it lift off of me. I was free. And then God said to me, you can stay free or you can go right back to it. It's your choice. So don't go back to sin. You don't want to go back and kneel the knee to the devil in any way, because he is going to beat the snot out of you. So don't do it. You know? You know, when you figure out that, oh, when you do righteousness and you're allowing God to really work through your life, it's beautiful. It's blessed. It's peace and joy, you know? That's what you get when you do righteousness. The devil's a liar. He'll promise you all kinds of things. But then in the end, you're in his frying pan or in his pot. He's cooking you alive. He's going to take it out of you however he can, you know. So don't give place to him, all right? That's a big one. We don't want to go living in sin because of, and opening that door. Let's live in Hebrews 4:16 when we blow it. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus understands what we're dealing with. Praise God, he was the one and only true superhero. Can you imagine living 30-some years and not sinning once in this terrible world? Just that alone, it just blows my mind, you know. I can't hardly make it a day. You know? Thank you, Jesus, that he was able to do this. But he was tempted in every way. So he knows and understands what we're going through. And because of that, he understands we can come to his throne and receive that mercy. You know, when we fail, like, oh, I messed up again, I'm sorry. He just picks us up and says, okay, yep, let's do it again. I know you can do it. And he's there to help us, you know, every time. Number three, what about eternal security? Oh, boy, this is a topic that gets discussed a lot, and it is in a huge debate amongst the different denominations, right? I know even coming in, when I first started coming to River of Life, it was probably one of the first or maybe the second question I had to sit down with Pastor Dave about. So I just can't get this settled in my heart, you know, about this eternal salvation, because I don't think that's right, that you can just be, you know, saved and once saved, always saved. But I don't like this thing about being able to lose your salvation either, you know. So I was in this state, right? And it's not a good place to be. So what I'm hoping is in these next couple of things that we can maybe try to settle it in your heart, because it's very important that you understand the truth on this, all right? So those who believe once saved, always saved, understand that your spirit, is the fill-in, is sanctified and perfected forever. So once you're born of God, born of the Spirit, you can't be unborn. Once you're born into the kingdom of God, his son and his daughter, you can't be unborn out of the kingdom of God, of being a son or daughter of God. You're part of the family, and he's never going to give up on you. Just like you would never give up on your son or your daughter. You may not like what they're doing sometimes, but you're not going to deny them. You're not going to say, you're not my son or daughter. And even in those cases, when they do say that, they're still praying and hoping, you know, that they'll come around, you know. They're never going to go in their heart say, you know, I'm forgetting you. You're my son. You're my daughter. And God's the same way. He is never, ever, ever going to give up on you as if he's because you're his son and his daughter. Jesus paid the price. He paid an awful price for us to be sons and daughters of God. And God's not going to come back and take that away from us. All right? Understand that your spirit is sanctified and perfect forever. Since we were not saved by our own goodness, our lack of goodness can't unsave you. Remember, if we try and categorize sin and live by our own law, our brand of holiness, then we must deal with James 2:10. Since for whoever shall keep the whole law and stumble in one point is guilty of all. Wow, that's a tall order, you know? Because it's not about just doing sin. It's about doing everything right in your life. Are you perfectly obeying the Holy Spirit in everything? You know, are you doing, thinking right? Like, is every thought you have completely holy and perfect? No, not even close. There's probably things that we're not even hearing. We're like, the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us, and we're not hearing him and not doing it. And so, well, that would be sin. We're not doing what he's wanting us to do. It's impossible. It's impossible. Galatians 3, 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The things that we do, whether they're holy or righteous or not, is not what saves us. It's what Jesus did, right? And what Jesus did is never going to change. And therefore, it's always there for us. Always there for us. So, let's see. Have you ever broken speed laws? Well, I don't know why Pastor Dave put this in here. All right, Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists their authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. I'm not going to read anymore. I think we already get the point. You know, we can keep going, and it's just piling it on more and more, right? And I'm like, okay, Lord. All right, I understand. Anyway. So we can't do it on our own. We have to completely depend on what Jesus did, right? It doesn't matter how bad you were that day. When you say, you know what, it doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm coming to God. I need you, God. I need you, Father. I need you, Daddy. And when you come to him because of what Jesus did in your heart, not because of you or but that you messed up or that you were even good that day. I was really good today. I can come to God. No. The only reason you get to come to God and call him Abba is because of what Jesus did. And that will never change. So when you come to him with that attitude, he will accept you, love you, and do whatever you need him to do for you, because he loves you, right? Amen. The Father fellowships with you on your faith in Christ alone. It's not based on you and what you do, whether good or bad. It's based on Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew, thank you, Jesus. However, we must look at Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. So, as a born-again, even spirit-filled, mature Christian, there is a way to lose your salvation, but it doesn't have anything to do with God taking it away. It's that when we get so far from God that we renounce what Jesus did and you don't want anything to do with it anymore. But to qualify to even be at that point to even get rid of it and not have that sacrifice or what Jesus has done for you apply to you, you have to be a very mature believer, someone who has been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, understands God and his power, all right, and then still walk away before you even qualify to be able to even reject and walk away, all right? I don't think any of us are there. I tell you what, the more I understand these things and see the power of God working, I would never want to walk away from God. Why would I do that? If you have this understanding, I don't think you would. I don't think any person who would understand or be at this level would even do it. So I don't think it's possible to happen for anybody. Because if you really knew all this and experienced this, there's no way you're going to turn your back on God and deny Christ. There's no way. If we drift deeper into sin, you will come to the place where Satan can tempt you to renounce, is the fill-in, your faith. This is not easily done. So Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So it doesn't matter how much you blow it, he's never going to give up on you. You have his promise. If you read Hebrews 6:4-6, you have to be a mature believer and then reject the work of the Holy Spirit who drew you to the Lord. Okay? Matthew 12:31-32. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. As an enemy of Christ, Paul was even forgiven, as he prosecuted out of ignorance. 1 Timothy 1:13 says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Okay? A lot of times that's where we get to, is that if we do something, usually it's because we're being ignorant and we're walking in unbelief for that time, you know? But God will forgive every time when we come to him, right? Because he loves us. He deals with us as sons and daughters, right? So number four, the final stage of someone who has renounced their salvation should be like those mentioned in Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And then 32, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Their conscience gets so scarred, you know, that they can't hear God's saying no, or even their own conscience saying no, don't do that. And eventually, like, you know, God, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I want to continue in this sin, and, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want you anymore. You know, the pastor says they become reprobate and can neither be restored. But as long as the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, you aren't reprobate. Someone who's reprobate can't hear the Spirit of God. They have calloused themselves so much they cannot hear anymore. Reprobates become God-haters and display a total lack of desire for God, a hater of God, really. And if you are repentant and sorry for what you have done, you are not reprobate. Okay? What's important about this is that if the devil can keep you guessing if you're saved or not saved, if you're out of the favor and love of God, or, you know, are in the favor and love of God, then he can render you ineffective in the kingdom, in this world. Because everything works in the kingdom by faith. If you feel you're on the outs with God, then you're not going to be able to have faith to go and do things that God would want you to do. Like witness, I'm too ashamed. I can't witness. I did this today. I know God's mad at me. So I can't witness. Oh, I can't pray for this person who needs to be healed. Why would God listen to me? I messed up, you know. I'm going to have to spend some time, you know, fasting and praying and just beg God, please forgive me, you know. If he can get you in that state, he can render you ineffective, and he's fine with that. You could actually be saved, but you don't think you're saved, and you're going back and forth all the time. Then he's got you right where he wants you, right? But to understand that What you do does not change what God, what Jesus has done in you. All right? That when you pray for someone to be healed, it's not based on your righteousness or even your qualifications. It's based on what Jesus did. Right? Jesus qualified you to pray for those people in his name and they'll be healed. Not because of your righteousness or your power or because you're even a good person. It's because of Jesus. When you witness the people, you're just telling them, hey, look, I have a Savior that is so loving, kind, merciful, and forgiving. That no, it doesn't matter what you've done, he loves you and he wants to be a part of your life. Right? If you're feeling guilty and ashamed, you're not going to tell them anything. But knowing how much he loves us, how merciful, how good he is to us and what he's done for us through Jesus Christ, that's why we want to share. We want you to experience what we've experienced, what we know. So you can share because of the love that he showed you, you can show to others. I want you to experience this love. I want you to experience this relationship as a son and a daughter of God, you know? The devil can get you guessing, oh, am I saved? Am I good or not? Then you can't stand in faith. You can't walk out this Christian life. So you need to settle in your heart that no matter what, it's not because of me, it's because of Jesus, that God loves me, accepts me, is a part of my life, and will always be a part of my life. And he will do everything he said because of Jesus in my life. He will love me continually because of Jesus, what Jesus did. And so, no, it's all about him. It has nothing about you. It's all about him. Is why he loves and accepts you in every way. Does that make sense, guys? So please get that out. Settle in your heart that you're saved and you're saved forever. You have his spirit. You've been sealed. You're not going anywhere out of the family of God. You're his daughter. You're his son. And he can use you because he qualified you. So go out there and share this wondrous news. This is wondrous news. Right? Amen? I'm just going to pray for you guys, okay? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for assurance in our hearts. I pray, oh Lord, that forever the devil would not be able to use this to pull us back or hold us back any longer. I thank you, Lord, that we shall know that we are sons and daughters and that will never change. That when you look upon us, you see Jesus. You see the righteousness of Jesus. You see the holiness of Jesus. You see someone who is perfect in every way. And because of that, Lord, you always hear us. You always answer us. You always accept us. Lord, I thank you that you deal with us as sons and daughters. Always there. You're doting, Lord. You're right there hovering around us, Lord, to keep us, to protect us, to love us. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can hear your breath because that's how close you are, always. I pray, oh Lord, that everyone here would have that sense, they would know this in their hearts and never let the devil again convince them that they're not loved and not accepted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys.